Hey, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. As you come to worship, we're not going to have any printed material out right now. If you don't have a Bible, we do have a Bible for you, of course. We're just going to ask that you take that home and make that your own. But as you consider coming into worship, please remember to bring your Bibles if you have one at home. We're going to be reading out of the English Standard Version. And as I begin to read, I'm going to tell you that this is to hear the word of the Lord. And the reason why I do that is not just to sound religious. There's a lot of, we use a lot of church speak, but it isn't to sound religious. It's because this actually is the word of God. And God's power, the Holy Spirit actually takes this word and he changes our lives with it. He changes the world with it. And so when I say this is the word, or hear the word of the Lord to begin, that's what I'm doing. And when I, at the end, when I say hear the, or this is the word of the Lord, I apologize. When I say this is the word of the Lord, I invite you to thank God at that moment. Say thanks be to God wherever you're at. I'm going to be reading from 1 John 2, verses 7 to 14. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment, one that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong. The word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Don't settle for less than Jesus. That's kind of the theme of what we're doing throughout the summer. Don't settle for less than Jesus. We have the letters up here. And by the way, if you're looking up here and you'll notice, oh, this L is actually straight. I told her to keep those crooked because they actually remind me that I am a little bit crooked. So are you. Don't settle for less than Jesus. Don't settle for less than Jesus in what you believe. Don't settle for less than Jesus in the reality, how you see the reality around you. Don't settle for less than Jesus in how you love one another. This God is light, and Jesus is your perfect advocate. John said that in the text we read last week. And these truths change our lives, okay? And what we read today, John tells us what he's writing about. And then he tells us why he's writing about it. And so we're just going to take that in turn. What is John writing about and why is he writing about it? In verse 7, if you look at the text, beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. The commandment that he's talking about is this, okay? And John, chapter 13, verse 34, right after Jesus got done washing his disciples' feet, he said this, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." So Jesus called that a new commandment. But in here in this letter, John says, it's not a new commandment, it's an old commandment. But it is a new commandment. So let's unpack that a little bit, okay? If it's an old commandment, when did we get it? I mean, is it from the beginning of creation? Or the beginning of the nation of Israel? Or, I mean, when did God say this? Was it in Jesus' ministry? Or was it like when we first believed that we received that commandment? I mean, the answer to all of those things is yes, by the way. Yes. A little later in chapter 3, John tells us that the message that we've had from the beginning is to love one another. And then he dives right in to the beginning of Genesis to talk about Cain and Abel. That love command goes all the way back. John sees it embedded in the story. And then, of course, when Israel was at Mount Sinai, in Leviticus 19, the Lord said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." I mean, that's always been the command, right? And of course, we already read that Jesus said it to his disciples. And then if you read basically every book in the New Testament, you are going to find some version of this command in a heavy, heavy dose of it. Love is and always has been at the core of who God is and what he commands. And God never changes, ever. He never changes. And that simple fact that he never changes has huge implications for us. John's going to talk about them, okay? So it isn't a new command, but it kind of is, John says. He says in verse 8, "At the same time, it is a new command that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." That's a mouthful, right? Let's unpack that a little bit. How can it be new if it's old? If it's always been and God doesn't change? John says it's true in you and in Jesus. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. It's not that God had not made this command clear before. It's because Jesus, the light and the glory of God, has come into the world. Jesus' presence is what makes a difference here. He's come into the world and he's been revealed. It isn't a new command because God hadn't said it. It's new because the God who is love came personally himself and revealed himself and was present with us in Jesus. And Jesus said, "As I have loved you, so love one another." That's why it's new. Because Jesus came. God was present in a different way with Jesus. Do not settle for less than Jesus. John says, "The one who says he is in the light and hates his brother is actually in darkness." He's walking around blind, John says. Hatred blinds us. I want you to hear that now. Hatred blinds us. And often, my friends, we don't know that it's blinding us. We're not aware of how that's happening. John says, "Whoever loves his brother walks in the light." That person has no stumbling block within him. So he walks in the light. He's got fellowship with God. And here's why. This is really complicated, so you got to really pay attention, okay? He has no cause for stumbling in his life Because he can see. Yeah, that's not so complicated, is it? It's not. We have, if we have fellowship with God and we are walking in the light, we can actually see what's going on inside of us. And we have no cause for stumbling because we can confess it. We can turn from it. We can be cleansed. As I said a few weeks ago, fellowship with God exposes and it heals our sin. But now John makes a turn. The one who only says that he is in the light and hates his brother or sister is really in the darkness and blind. He cannot see. The reason why there are stumbling blocks in his life, the reason why he's hitting up against things, and he doesn't know why he's not, his life isn't changed, and why he doesn't have the power to overcome, is because he can't see what he's stumbling over. The person fails to live out a life of a forgiven child of God. Living in ignorance of God. This is what hatred does. It causes us to live in ignorance of God. And the only way we can pretend, the only way we can look like we overcome is if we pretend. Whoever hates his brother has placed their faith at least partly in themselves. That person is settled for less than Jesus. I told you last week when we were at the beginning of this chapter that if you are content to live your life in hatred of your brother or sister, it really doesn't matter what you say you believe. Because you don't really believe what you say. It just doesn't matter what you say if it's not the truth of your heart. You cannot exist in the light of God and hate your brother or sister. And I know I've said that a number of different ways already. I'll probably say it a few more times. But that's especially important for us right now because we're going to come to the table today. John wrote to the church about the command that is both old and new. Love one another. But why is it that he felt the need to write that? He actually answers that for us in verses 12 to 14. Okay? I mean, it's an important message, but why does he feel like he has to say it over and over again? Listen to what he says in verses 12 to 14. I'm just going to read the first half. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. That's Jesus' name's sake, by the way. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Look, he says those first three things, and then he says them again, but he kind of changes them the second time. What he's doing is he's explaining what he means the second time around. I write to you, children. This time it's a little bit more familiar language. It's like it's like I'm talking to my child. Oh, child. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the evil one. Look, don't read these and think, well, I'm not a child, I'm not a father, and I'm not a young man. Don't read those and think those things and think this doesn't apply to me. This applies to every Christian. Okay? It does. But he wrote this for you. Be assured of that. It doesn't matter if what your age or your gender is. But there are some important things to consider here. There's things about the experience of being a child and a father and a young man that John's trying to draw out for all of us to apply to all of our to our lives, okay? He says, little children, in verse 12, I'm writing this command to love because your sins are forgiven for the sake of the name of Jesus. And then in verse 13, he says, children, I am writing you because you know the Father. The second thing explains why the first. God forgives our sin for the sake of the name of Jesus so that he can make us his children and we can call him Father, Daddy. It's Father's Day, right? I mean, Jamie and Micah keep asking me, what do I want for Father's Day? What do I want to do for Father's Day? Honestly, what do I want? I want for them and I want for all of you to know that you have a Father in heaven. That's what I want. I want you to understand this. God doesn't do anything without purpose. He doesn't forgive you just to forgive you. He forgives you to make you his son or his daughter. To make you his child. He made a way in Jesus for you to be forgiven so that you can be brought into his family. So you can stand in his presence and call him Father, Daddy. What does a child need, my friends? I mean, thinking of the nuance that John is bringing out, what does a child need more than to know that they are loved and accepted? And my friends, each and every one of you needs to know that too. In Jesus, you are loved and you are accepted. It is the core need for each and every human being. Everyone you meet out there and in here, in your homes, in the grocery store, anywhere, their core need is to know that they are loved and accepted. And particularly that they are loved and accepted by God. That's why the gospel is so important, my friends. Love one another. Consider that and love one another, John is saying. In verses 13 and 14, he says to fathers, I'm writing this command to love because you have known him who is from the beginning. He just repeats that two times just to emphasize it. You've known him who is from the beginning, the Son of God. What does a father need to know? Speaking as a father who's aging a little now, life is increasingly in the rearview mirror. Life isn't easy. We're often tempted to just shut it down. Life hasn't gone the way we thought it would sometimes. We don't know what kind of world our kids are going to inherit. That's not just fathers. God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, does not change. What does a father need to know? You really have known him in Jesus. It wasn't just in your head. All this has been for a purpose. You staked everything on the name of Jesus, and you really do know him. Consider that and love one another. He says, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. And then the second time he expands it, he says, I write to you, young men, because you are strong. Do you feel strong today? The life-giving word abides in you because of Jesus, John says. And as a result, you have overcome the evil one. In chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, John says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? The Word of God dwells in us when we are in Christ. And it creates a living faith in Christ alone, and that faith overthrows every power that the evil one has over us. Just that faith, grasping onto Jesus, not settling for less than Jesus. We are no longer in Jesus, ignorant, weak orphans. The power of God and the truth of the gospel make real love possible. Consider that and love one another. But where does that love come from? Because I'm not telling you to try harder this morning. You've done enough of that. I've done enough of that. I'm telling you to look outside of you. Look to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Don't be self-reliant in this. Become Jesus-reliant. Because for all the hatreds that dwell in the deep, dark places of your life, Jesus says, ask and it shall be given. Ask. Ask. Father, change me from the inside out. Change me for the sake of the name of Jesus. Give me love that fills me up and overflows to everyone around me. You can ask that right now. Where are you struggling? Where are you struggling with other people? Where are you struggling with other believers? Consider these things and love one another. It's the love that God gives that overflows that we were dealing with when we come to this table. And as we do come to this table, God, I ask that you would bind our hearts together in love. God, I feel so distracted this morning. But your spirit is not distracted. And your word is not distracted, and your word powerfully works in us. Lord, in me, let that truth that I am your child, that I know you, and that I've overcome in the name of Jesus, let that define my life, and let that define everyone's life here. Lord, for Father's Day, convince everyone here anew that you are a good, good Father, that you love and accept them in Jesus. You have washed them clean in the blood of your Son. And if that's the case, nothing can ever come between you and your people. Nothing. Open our eyes and open our ears to it. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.